Chris Pappas joins us live. Good morning, New Hampshire, GMI Studios. Congressman, thanks for being with us.
Hi, Jack. Good morning. Good to be with you.
Well, I appreciate a lot going on. We have that French, the official state dinner tonight, the president of France, busy time in Washington. You, yesterday, big vote on this effort to avert a rail strike, also the other day. And people may not be aware, but you are, I believe, chair or co-chair of the Congressional Equality Caucus, and you voted on a measure that's going, in fact, there are very few bipartisan things in Washington these days, Congressman, but this was one of them, the Respect for Marriage Act. Let's start with that, and how pleased with you with that, and that what now heads to the House side? Is that what's next?
That's right. You know, we had already passed it in the House a couple months back. It was in reaction to the Supreme Court decision in Dobbs, which many people were fearful was going to threaten other rights that the Supreme Court had enumerated, including the freedom to marry. And so we passed a bill that would guarantee marriage equality, regardless of who you love, in this country. And the Senate recently, just yesterday, passed the bill with a strong bipartisan vote. So it comes back to the House, and we should pass it later this week. And, you know, this is part of the New Hampshire way. New Hampshire was one of the first states to adopt marriage equality. We didn't do it because of a court decision. We did it through the legislative process, which I think speaks to the nature of Granite Staters, which is that we're accepting. We respect our neighbors, and we want everyone to have the same rights and responsibilities. And this will ensure that regardless of what the court does or any future legislature does, that marriage equality will be the law of the land.
It's got to be a pretty big deal for you, though, as chair. I mean, a lot of things don't get through Congress because of the partisanship. It's going to be gratifying in terms of coming out of New Hampshire that this has gone this far and going to go, I think, all the way to the president's desk.
That's right. That's right. And we got nearly 50 Republicans on the first pass through the House. I think we might pick up a few more. The Democrats were solidly behind this. And this is really a non-political, non-controversial issue to most people in New Hampshire and across the country.
Right.
And, you know, times have changed for the better. We're a more inclusive society, and we should make sure the laws catch up.
What about the rail strike? You voted yesterday on this, and President Biden has been very pro-union. We had an economic expert explaining that the deal isn't, you know, he said isn't as bad as some media is making it, but still, a rail strike right now at a time going into the end of the year, people worried about the economy, inflation, energy cost, it could really have a tough impact on the economy. I think someone said up to $2 billion a day in commerce. But where is this at, Congressman?
Well, this would be a huge hit for the economy, and it's really unprecedented for Congress to step in to try to avert a shutdown of the nation's rail systems. But that's exactly what we're doing this week. We passed a resolution yesterday over to the Senate that would adopt the agreement that was negotiated between the unions and the rail companies to make sure that that is in place moving forward to avert this shutdown. So we're waiting on the Senate to act on it as well. But you mentioned the hit to the economy, which would be severe. And as we think about the energy needs of New Hampshire this winter, you know, we rely on trains to get energy product into New Hampshire that then is trucked to customers at their homes and businesses. So it's really important that this agreement is approved by the Senate, that we avert this strike. And I think the workers aren't asking for too much. They're asking for some more paid sick days, some more flexibility in terms of their schedule. These people work incredibly hard on the railroad, and they've been asked to do a lot more over the last few years with supply chain disruptions and all that. So I think this is making sure that everyone's treated fairly, and I don't think that you know, we should see too many more hiccups here in the legislative process. I think the Senate is going to swiftly move to adopt this, and we can move forward.
You listen to Representative Chris Pappas, 1st Congressional District. Congressman, I want to ask you, so I had Kevin Forrest yesterday on with the Manchester VA, the VA, and he's a regular on the show, and he's been updating us. And one thing I've always been grateful to you and your time in Congress is you've been very attentive and supportive on the veterans front. I imagine your office, you're aware of that pipe burst that happened a couple of the floors. They're trying to rework the appointments. Have you been in touch with the VA? You know, there's Kevin Forrest said on my show, Congressman, the other day, Good Morning New Hampshire, that you remember years ago, I think, I know you probably do, that pipe burst when Al Montoya was there was much more catastrophic.
Yeah.
This, they're doing their best to work around. But Kevin Forrest questioned the integrity. He's worried about the facility at the VA, and I know you have a close eye on that. Do you share some concerns? Have you talked with them at all about what's going on on that front?
Well, absolutely. It's an old facility, the Manchester VA Medical Center. And there have been some significant investments of late to expand services there, including a women's health clinic, which is a great addition. But we know that this is not the first pipe burst. And unless some greater attention is paid to the infrastructure, it probably won't be the last. And there are disruptions to the care that veterans are able to access at the Manchester VA as a result of this. There have been other issues through the years. We've heard about the flies in the operating room, which was one serious issue that's come up from time to time. So this needs to be part of a bigger look by VA at the state of its healthcare system in terms of the infrastructure, where we can make improvements. You probably remember the effort by VA just a few months back where they were going to try to force some closures of community clinics. Mm-hmm. We stopped that, but we are a long way from having the kind of modern healthcare infrastructure that our veterans deserve, and we've got to make some additional investments in places like Manchester to bring these facilities up to date.
And before I let you go, Representative Pappas, I just want to ask you, it's interesting we had Anna Brown with Citizens Count On earlier talking about the presidential primary here. It's very much in the news today. You know that your Democrat National Committee, I know it's outside of your pay grade, as they say, but the National Democrat, or not pay grade, but you know what I'm saying, it's not your decision, not your decision. But they are meeting, and I think maybe this weekend Paul Steinhauser said his Democrat National source is telling him that there may be some word. But the Democrat National powers to be are looking at the schedule for the Democrat National leading up to 2024. And, of course, we covet the New Hampshire First in the Nation presidential primary. I think Iowa may be on the chopping block. I may be wrong. Mm-hmm. But are you worried here? Do you get a general sense that the Democrat national powers to be are going to preserve New Hampshire First? Do you just have a comment in general? Because I don't want to – I know it's not your decision. I think if it was, I know what it would be, that you'd obviously want to preserve New Hampshire. What are your thoughts?
Well, we always have to be on guard to threats to New Hampshire's First in the Nation status, and we have been. I've been making calls and reaching out to anyone who will listen at the Democratic National Committee to make sure that they understand the value that we add in New Hampshire to the nominating process. I mean, you look at the kind of conversations we have in New Hampshire. We bring candidates into our living rooms, into our local diners and small businesses. We make better presidents, ultimately, people of both parties that have been elected that make the connections and get a greater understanding of what people are going through in their day-to-day lives because of the New Hampshire primary. So I'm optimistic about where things stand. Obviously, Iowa bungled the caucuses during the last presidential primary, and perhaps there's some more attention being paid on Iowa, but we've seen these challenges before. We've been able to successfully overcome them. And, of course, we still have our state law that says we're going to go first, and that gives the Secretary of State, New Hampshire, the ultimate flexibility to be able to set the primary date once all the other states have set their dates.
Right.
So we're going to make the case, and I think we're going to be successful, but we do have that backup, and people in New Hampshire are going to vote first in January of 2024, as it should be.
Representative Chris Pappas, I'd be remiss if I didn't say a complimentary note to you before I let you go, and I appreciate the time, and you're always available and candid on my show, and I appreciate that for our listeners and our network of news talk stations across the region up into Portland. My question, I think, is for you, is I haven't had you on since the midterm election. We had a Republican challenger yesterday who you defeated, Caroline Leavitt, just talking about, kind of her reflections, and she was very complimentary of the Democrat state party in terms of getting the vote out, younger voters in particular. I haven't asked you since you did better than the polls indicated. In fact, you did quite well. In fact, you won by more than a little, Congressman. You sort of defied the odds, as they say, with the polls and what the national and local St. Anselm College UNH polls. So you won by almost, I think, 10.9 or 10 points. That's not like a little. I mean, the Patriots tonight would obviously take a 10-point win over the Bills and be happy. I guess what are your reflections? Was it your campaign? Was it independent voters didn't really care for the slate of Republican people challenging you? Was it younger vote? What if someone asked you what you did pretty darn well and congrats on that? What are your thoughts just looking back? And I know you're looking ahead, but when you reflect just for a moment.
Well, I think typically in midterm elections, you see some voter apathy and you see a drop off in turnout. That's not what we saw in New Hampshire this year. There was robust turnout across the board among Democrats, independents, and Republicans, which is good for everyone and certainly good for our democracy. I think added on top of that, you saw voters splitting their tickets, as they tend to do in New Hampshire. Chris Sununu was overwhelmingly reelected. We've got Republican majorities at the State House very narrowly. And then Senator Hassan was successful, and we won our race, too. And I think it speaks to the nature of Granite Staters, which is that we like folks who are pragmatic, who are focused on solving problems and not, sort of the extreme politics on both sides that have really become poisonous to our democracy. So I think that's what voters were looking at in the final analysis. And I think the 2022 elections are another lesson about how polls can sort of get it wrong. The people ultimately decide these races, and they showed up in droves, and I think provided a pretty clear result. They want common sense, and they want people to work together. And so that's going to be our charge for the next 2 years.
Congressman Chris Pappas, 1st District. Thank you for being on the show this morning. We'll catch you real soon. Good morning, New Hampshire, GMI Studios.
Thanks,
thank
Jack.
You.
Take care, Jack.